Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Steve and it's fabulous to have you company. Today we speak to young gun property developer Nan Nguyen on goal setting. We find out what makes him move forward in his real estate endeavours and how he takes success one step at a time. Have you decided what you really want in life? Louise Bedford discusses your life's mission in Mind Power. Hear Louise's very personal mission statement and how trading can help you get to yours. We also find out about Anthony Robbins' new research into the qualities common to all billionaires. But first up, we have the news for the week ending 28th of November with Aaron Lynch. Aaron Lynch, hello and welcome.
Good morning, Caroline. How are you this week?
How did the US markets close last week?
The US markets, after their shortened trading week with the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, they closed relatively flat in terms of overall position, but the four major US indexes did tell us slightly different stories. The S&P 500 had its first down day since the 12th of November. The Dow Jones actually closed relatively flat. The Russell 2000 was the weakest of the four indexes. It actually sold off a little bit further, but nothing too untoward. And the NASDAQ continued its climb to fresh highs for the move, so it's still looking like it's well-placed for some gains.
Now, let's look at the Australian dollar. It's under pressure against a stronger US dollar. It closed low at 84.68 cents.
Absolutely. It broke underneath that 85 cent level, which has been a little bit of support in recent times. And we go back to sort of the 7th of November, where we saw the market pull up around 85 cents. The backdrop to the Australian dollar, it's getting a lot of jawboning from the Reserve Bank. They're certainly not comfortable where the levels are. They see a lower valued US dollar. But from a technical perspective, whenever commodities come under a great deal of pressure, like they have done in the last two to three trading sessions, we're essentially could be grouped together with a market like the Canadian dollar, and we're both viewed as very much commodity-based currency. So when commodities perform well, you'll generally see a strong performing Australian dollar, Canadian dollar, and when commodities come under pressure, like we've seen, you generally see a weakening Australian dollar. So really that's just a reflection of where the commodities perspective is, and also I guess the general fundamentals of where our economy is and the want of the Reserve Bank to see this market fall further.
Okay, so let's look at the Australian market in general. How did it go last week?
The Australian market closed weak. It had a fairly good first 3 days to the trading week, and then obviously came under a lot of pressure off the back of those commodity prices. So with crude oil, Brent, natural gas pricing coming under a huge amount of pressure Thursday, Friday in the international markets, the Australian market on Friday gave back pretty much over 70 points on the share price index and came back to where it really kicked off the trading week. So under a lot of pressure and likely to continue through this week, particularly with those commodities. So the Australian market certainly underperforming some of our other Asian partners, where you take a look at China's been quite strong, and the Nikkei and Hong Kong market have actually held up not too badly. But Australia's certainly under a bit of pressure and probably the underperformer in the Asian complex.
So let's look at the commodities. What were some hot and what were some cold this week?
Well, certainly on the commodities front, the cold sectors were absolutely the energy pricing. So crude, Brent, natural gas, heating oil, all of those markets essentially are grouped together as the energies complex. Off the back of OPEC's announcement that they weren't prepared to cut production, what we saw was massive declines, 6, 7, 8, 9, even 10% falls in these markets, which statistically make them very much on the outside edge of what's normal in terms of volatility. But that being said, I guess some of the better performing commodities, and one that I'm closely following, is the wheat market. And it's one of those markets that very much heavily influenced by weather. And we've got places like Russia, the Ukraine, Canada, all undergoing concerns about the quality and the output of their crops. So in terms of hot sectors in the commodity area, certainly the softs and the agricultural products looking not too bad, but certainly the cold sectors were, the precious metals markets and certainly the energy markets were all under a lot of pressure at the end of last week.
Patterns jumping out from the charts for you.
The patterns that are jumping out for me, particularly as in those energy spaces, is the possibility of markets becoming a little bit oversold. Patterns that I'm really following in terms of my style of analysis is looking for historical reference ranges to be repeating. And I do note with interest that the 2011 run in the crude market from around May down into October is a very similar price and time run as what we're seeing in the current environment. So for me, the patterns I'm looking for is, you know, support to start being found at some of these oversold levels and starting to see whether or not we get a rebound and potential, you know, for some trends to start to form the other way. But in terms of the overall patterns, I'm starting to be a bit concerned that some of the ranges are a little bit oversold, and so therefore we might expect them to bounce back.
Advice to traders this week.
Look, confirmation is everything in markets, particularly like the energy markets that are falling. You know, the old adage of trying to catch a falling knife, sometimes you get the handle and sometimes you get the blade. Having very robust trading plans that deal with volatility and how to offset volatility risk is very, very important. So jumping in an environment like now, if you aren't managing that huge amount of volatility, can lead to bad decisions and reducing, you know, bank or trading account balances. So all I'd say is that confirmation in your trading plan is important, and also potentially looking at smaller position sizes in the current market, which will help to offset against some of the increased volatility.
Aaron Lynch, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
As always, Caroline, it's been great to be part of the show. Thank you.
Do you know your purpose in life? Have you found your true calling? Louise Bedford joins us now to share her mission statement and how trading can get you closer to yours.
Are you living the life that you're meant to live? Are you living your life's purpose? Do you have soul satisfaction? When I was 19, I wrote my life's mission statement. Little did I know back then that the simple words that I'd put down on paper, they'd guide my life and they'd provide me with the direction I needed when things got tough, because things did get tough. Want to hear what I wrote back then? Actually, I found the original card that I wrote it on quite a while ago, and I realised how much it had meant to me at the time, but also how much it's meant to me as time has gone on. Here's my mission statement. Funnily enough, I even feel a bit nervous about sharing it with you. It's just so deeply personal. But this is what I wrote all those years ago. To inspire others by leading by example. To create wealth and spread my wealth to those that I love and those that I choose. To nurture others to discover their true energy so they can change the world. Now, I've just read it out for you word for word, but I actually do know that off by heart. And by true energy, I mean the thing that you can do effortlessly. You know, these days people call it flow or being in the zone, but I didn't know those terms back then. I guess from that, you can see how once I'd worked out how to trade, because my mission was so important to me, I just needed to spread the word about how others could liberate their lives as well using trading as a tool. I wanted success with significance, not just for myself, but for those I could help get what they wanted. Have you decided what your calling is? And frankly, it's one thing to hear your heart whisper the direction that you need to go in, but it's another to believe in it and to act on it. Do you know in your gut that you really want to be a trader? Or have you been denying that part of yourself because it just seems too hard? I have to ask you, what's the worst thing that could happen if you decided to be mentored by me and Chris Tate? On your deathbed, you'll have regrets. You'll wish you'd have played more. You'll wish that you'd spent time with friends and family. But I'll bet that you'll wish you had have also taken more risks and created a life with more meaning. By freeing up your life with the income and the choices that trading can provide for you, I know that you'll be able to matter. My own mission statement helps me get rid of anything that I just don't enjoy, or things that started out being fun, but they're just not fun anymore. And it guides me into designing my life instead of just existing. I find that whenever I start lacking energy and wondering if it's all worth it, it means that I've drifted away from my mission statement and I'm not being guided by its wisdom. Then when I do remember why I'm here on this planet and I do the things that I'm meant to do, it just feels great and I get back to loving trading again and loving my business again and loving my life. And not uncoincidentally, every time I get on track, my income rises without as much work because I'm not having to force it. So your challenge is to think about what you really want in life. Is it just to exist being a worker drone having to achieve somebody else's goals and dreams? Or are you ready to move forward and trade your fears for peace, trade your anxiety for confidence? Imagine a life where you didn't have to worry whether you'd made the right stock choice, or wonder how much money to put into your next trade, or even when to exit your trade. Imagine a life where you didn't look enviously at their new car or house or holiday, and where you didn't have to put your plans on hold again, and where you didn't need to worry about what the future would bring for you. How good would that feel? And that is what trading can do for you. If you're ready for this life, then Chris Tate and I will work with you to create the trading business that you deserve. And once you've done our mentor program, we'll keep working with you for free until you hit every one of your goals. We'll keep on giving you the guidance you need to become an exceptional trader, no matter how long it takes, giving you the benefit of our combined 50 years as traders. We'll help you create the life that you want to live. In your heart, you'll know if doing the mentor program is the right move for you. If you're serious about getting the results that you've been craving from the markets, you won't hesitate and you'll book in straight away. Don't let another year go by where you're drifting and not living your life's mission.
Real Estate Talk with Kevin Turner is Australasia's most respected real estate investing program. Tune in for property investment news, tips and strategies. Each week, Kevin and his team take a fresh look at the property market so you get all the facts to help you make the right property decisions. Subscribe free at realestatetalk.com.au.
One of Chris Tate's favourite sayings is, "Don't bet the farm." And Louise Bedford always says that good trading is about capital preservation. And 2 weeks ago, that hunter of human excellence, Anthony Robbins, wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal on his examination of financial legends. And Robbins found that they all shared four common obsessions. The first, and always the biggest, was that while they were driven to deliver extraordinary returns, every single one of these masters were more obsessed with not losing money. From Ray Dalio, the founder of the largest hedge fund on the planet, to Kyle Bass, who turned $30 million in investments into $2 billion in 2 years, to Paul Tudor Jones, one of the top 10 financial traders since 1993, they all understand that if you don't lose, you live to fight another day. As Jones said, "The most important thing for me is that defence is 10 times more important than offence." The other three qualities common to billionaires were 1, risk a lot to make a lot, 2, anticipate and diversify, and 3, you are never done. Na Nguyen from Advanced Property Strategies is a property entrepreneur from Brisbane. At only 23, he went into full-time investing, and 10 years later, he's now done over $20 million worth of real estate deals. He joins us today to discuss the importance of goal setting in investing. Hi, Nan.
Hi, Caroline. How's it going?
Let's talk about goal setting today. How do you personally set goals with your business?
I think goals are a very, very important part of life and achievement. So I have various goals. I have what I call my 2020 goals, which are 5-10 years ahead, as well as my 12-month goals and 90-day goals. So I break it down and I have not just financial goals, but goals in other areas of my life, including holidays, including travel, including personal development. So I break it down into sections, and then I break it down into time frames, because it's all well and good to have 5-10 year goals, but really you need to take action on a daily basis and on a short-term basis to get there. So break it down from 5-10 year goals down to annual, 90, and then also weekly and daily goals.
Okay, what about when things go wrong, when your goals don't go to plan? What do you do?
That's a very good question. I think with people who they set goals, they need to be flexible with the results and expectations as well. One thing you don't do is you don't beat yourself up if you don't reach your goals. It's very important to see if, you know, if there are other ways to achieve your goals, share your goals with people who support you, and ensure that you're taking actions that are required to move towards that goal. Because goals, yes, you can meditate about them, you can think about them, visualize them, but the only really thing on this earth and real life is to take action towards it. I believe that, yes, you have to have faith in your goals and act with blind faith that you will achieve your goals. It's not a matter of if, but when.
But you've got to have the informed decisions to make the right action steps.
And that part of it is, you know, getting education and having mentors. And I know, especially when people start, they're reading a lot of books, going to a lot of seminars, listen to a lot of CDs. But I think, yeah, they definitely have to get that education that's relevant for that area and find a system or a strategy that works for them.
Mm. All right. What about when you're lying in bed at night and your stomach's in emotional knots about things that are going wrong or seriously downhill?
I've gone through that definitely before, through the GFC. The way I deal with those kind of issues or concerns is I make sure I get it on paper. You write, get a pen, get a paper, and you write down all the things that are going through your head, because it's basically your subconscious mind going nuts, going around and around. You need to get it out of your head. So, and writing down, you know, what is the worst case scenario? What's the worst thing that can happen? You know, is it you can lose your house? Is it you lose your car? Is it you get divorced? Is it your friends will leave you? Whatever it is that your main concern is, then write it down. And once you kind of get a grip on, okay, that's the worst case scenario and no further, then, okay, that's the situation. As long as you're aware of it, then you can powerfully take actions to move towards the best case scenario. And that's the thing you need to do is look, okay, worst case scenario, best case scenario, and take actions towards the best case scenario.
How did the GFC affect you, mate?
Look, it, like with everybody else, it was a very tough time. We had a position of about, I think, a $4.7 million deal that was on the cards, and that we promised to buy 20 blocks of land. And during the between 2007 2009, there was a very tough time, because early 2007, we'd engaged in the deal to buy these 20 blocks of land, and we'd on-sold them for about $1 million more. During the GFC, because the market corrected, most of the buyers in our deal pulled out, and then we had to resell the block. So we still had to cover that position of 4.7 mil, and we were, I suppose, not lucky, but we worked hard enough to be able to still make 200 grand on a deal that could have sent us under. So, yeah, and I learned a lot of my weaknesses and my strengths at that time, and just had to dig deep because there was a lot at stake.
How do you keep motivated?
I think with keeping motivated, you need to surround yourself with winners, and you keep surrounding yourself with people who are achieving more than you are, and go, okay, you know, what are they doing and what are they taking on that inspires me? You need to keep yourself inspired, and you need to keep surrounding yourself with new goals as well. You know, when I was three, I remember one of my first goals was a car. It was a Porsche. And when I was 23, when I was able to quit my job, I set myself a goal of getting myself a Porsche. And in the last 6 months, I've let myself have that reward, and because I can afford it, you know. So it's having setting new goals, and now that I've got one of my dreams, it's setting a new dream and a bigger dream, and moving towards that on a regular basis.
So what's your bigger dream?
Oh, the next one is to definitely upgrade my car to a faster and more expensive Porsche that goes a lot faster. but that's only one of them. I've got other dreams and goals. Go on cruises, send my wife around the world. There's a lot of financial goals, but also a lot of other goals to be able to send my family, like my mother and my father, around the world on holidays as well.
Do you have any free resources, Nan?
Absolutely, Caroline. For those of you who are interested in property and wanting to learn about no money down deals, they can go to my website, advancedpropertystrategies.com, advancedpropertystrategies.com, and you can get free DVD valued at $97 called No Money Down Property Strategies.
Lovely talking to you today. Thanks, Nan.
Thanks, Caroline.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Thank you to our contributors, Nan Nguyen, Louise Bedford, and Aaron Lynch. Stay tuned next week for Aaron Parsons from the Business Commandos. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
Talking Trading is sponsored by TradingGame.com.au and The Mentor Program. The Mentor Program has been running continuously since the year 2000 and is a six-month, repeat-for-free course run by Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. Make sure you're registered on TradingGame.com.au to hear more.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.